Anyway, I want to turn things over now to Sam Yale and Robin Herber to talk about household management tips and tricks, and they are going to have a participatory session. So, Sam and Robin.
Welcome back, everybody. All right, so our next session is going to be about a topic in which I am not an expert. So you might be asking yourself, Sam, why would you want to lead a session on a topic in which you're not an expert? Well, all right, I'm not going to repeat that. Okay, I believe that the most valuable asset and resource that we have in this organization is us, right? It's not our bank account, is it, Teresa? No, it's us, right? We, in addition to advocating for our needs and our wants, as we discussed in our last session, which is very important, I think it's also important for us to share among each other our lived experiences as blind people and how we do things, because we all have to function from day to day. We all have to take care of ourselves. We have to manage our households. We have to cook. We have to clean, right? We don't all do things the same way. And so I thought it would be great to get everyone together to talk about how they do different things and to ask questions about how to do things. And maybe there's something that you've always wanted to know. You know, is there a better way for me to clean, or is there a better way for me to cook or to prepare something? And so we have this forum here where we're going to go through different areas of household management and throw out some questions and just gauge the audience, you know, let people contribute ideas and tips and tricks on how they do different things in their lives. And so that's what this session is all about. So the ground rule, everyone did a great job of this at the last session, but this is going to be more discussion and interactive oriented. So if you want to say something, raise your hand. We're going to need a mic runner.
And that includes people on Zoom.
Yes, on Zoom too. We're going to include people on Zoom. So raise your hand and we will acknowledge you. And then when you have a mic, you can contribute to the discussion. But we want you to contribute. So don't feel like you have to have something to offer in terms of tips or tricks or advice. If you have a question, you know, feel free to throw that out as well. And I'm going to hand the mic over to my co-facilitator, Robin, in case she has any opening remarks for the session.
Robin? Okay, thank you very much. This is Robin again. Oh, I just love doing this. This is my life's passion, being a rehabilitation teacher. So that's where I get most of my training. Plus, in growing up, my parents didn't cut me any slack. I did all the chores, probably more than my sisters did, because my parents were convinced that I wasn't going to marry, I wasn't going to have children, I wasn't going to have much of a life, so I might as well learn how to cook and clean and things like that. And they really did think that. But in the meantime, they made sure that I was going to do it better than they ever did it seeing. You remember the old enamel bathtubs that you had to use Comet or something to clean it? Well, my mother was like, you're going to clean this. And if there was a spot on that thing, I had to redo it. So I learned if I wanted to have any free time, I had to do it right the first time. Okay, so that being said, I'm not tough like that on my students, no. But thoroughness is important, especially when it comes to certain categories. So some of the categories we're going to talk about are like cleaning, meal prep, organization, that's a really big one, labeling so that you can be independent about what you have, navigating, shopping, things like that. So, Sam, do you want me to start it off with a category?
Sure.
Oh, okay. This is unrehearsed. Okay.
Well, Robin, why don't you tell them, you brought up the bathtub.
I did.
So why don't you start off with your first tip on how did you clean that bathtub?
Okay, I had to learn how to use the Comet. Now, this you don't use so much nowadays, but because they have better cleaners. But you had to put the comet on there, but you had to know what the crud felt like first. So first you had to feel the ring, and they didn't have special gloves then either. So you felt where the ring was, and then you sprayed the stuff, and you scrubbed it with a brush or with a really stiff, you know, washcloth, you know, an old washcloth. And it would feel like beautiful glass when it got done. But until that glass was reached, you cut through the crud. And that was just normal to happen. We had well water, and so, you know, we had to really take care of stuff like that. The one that was really a problem was the toilet, because it had the same water situation where you would get a ring around it. So the first thing you do when you clean a toilet is you flush it. Never mind you just did, because you might have not have been the very next person in there. You know what I mean? So you just didn't want any surprises. So after you flush it, then you put your disinfectant in. Now, I don't like brushes, okay? You're all going to think it's weird, but I can't stand touching them, especially like John brushes, scrub brushes, vacuum cleaner brushes. They're bristly, and I can't do it. I'll tell you about that a little later, some other time. But anyway, I use a sponge. Or they have these new things now with a wand that you can reach in, and it gets around the rim really well. And it will take anything off. So there you go. And that's how I do it. You can buy these wands in Costco or the grocery store or BJ's, you know, places like that. But you have to have a really clean bathroom. The sinks, I think it works pretty well with a sponge. You know, you put your disinfectant in, your good cleaning stuff. I like Fabuloso because it smells so good. And that's what I use, because it makes a whole house smell good when you're, and then people think you're really, you really cleaned it, you know. So anyway, that's what you do with the bathroom. Not to mention the floor, and sometimes I do a bleach solution on that and really get it clean. Okay? How do you all, do you have any better ideas on a bathroom? Have Robin do it. Well, well, the thing is, you know, a lot of people say mop, but I find as a person that's totally blind, a mop, it puts you too far away from where the dirt is. You can't feel it. So I get right on the floor. I get on the floor and go in a pattern. I start from the inside and work out. So when I'm finished, I'm right in front of the bathroom door. So that works. And of course, you have to have your mats clean too. And most of them can go in the washer. I would be careful about putting the rubber backed ones in the dryer, because you're going to have them start peeling and shredding on you otherwise. And then you have all this little white stuff all over your carpet and everything. Y'all ever put a Kleenex in your pocket and then put it in the wash? Yeah, well, it's kind of like that if that happens. So don't put those in the dryer if you can help it. Or if you do, just enough to get it nice and soft, and then take it out and throw it on the top of your dryer upside down so that it will dry nice. Did that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
All right. Nice, clean bathroom. That's important.
Could you hand me the mic?
Here you go. Here you go, Sam.
All right. I know I try to avoid touching the bottom of the toilet brush as much as possible myself.
Yes.
So one the area I want to start off with is cleaning surfaces, which is what we've been talking about. So I'm wondering what approach people take to cleaning surfaces, such as floors, tables, counters, et cetera, vacuuming, cleaning, mopping, right? Do you tend to use like a pattern approach, like a grid, or
Do you find that you overcompensate maybe to make sure that you haven't missed a spot and it takes you 3 hours to vacuum the floor? Or, you know, what kinds of approaches and challenges are people running into around cleaning services? Anyone want to raise their hand?
Okay. This is the teacher talking now, but I have to apply my own stuff in my own house. Use your furniture as a guide and use it like as a buffer. You know, you're like, say you have a couch. If you run the vacuum cleaner along your couch, you are going to have a really good starting place, and then just move all the way to a wall and then all the way across the room. Then all the way second row to the wall, and then back all the way across the room. And you won't miss it. And you won't have to do it 50 times. And for the big traffic areas that are like in thresholds, that's like in between rooms where you have the most traffic, you might want to give them a swipe or two or three, just because, you know, you walk there more, going from room to room, and you will hear your vacuum cleaner. It'll suck it up, you know, and you'll hear stuff going up. And if you don't, then I got to figure out how you do it, because that means when there's no sound of anything going up the hose, that you're doing it and you're getting everything. I don't trust those vacuum cleaners that are robots and go under the bed and everywhere else, because I don't believe they're going to get everything as if I was doing it. That's just my personal opinion. This is not a commercial. Okay. All right, Sam.
When I'm vacuuming, I use like the couch or something like that, or a wall as an orientation. And then I just move as far as I can, you know, outreached arm, and bring it back. And then I move, sidestep a little bit. And I use that process to move across. And then I, you know, walk a couple of steps forward, which was, you know, where my arm was reaching. And I do the same thing, you know, going back. So I'm always doing parallel lines and not moving very much, so I don't get turned around. Marie says I have long arms, so it takes me less time than it takes Marie.
I guess that would depend on how big your room is too, right? Like, if you had a really large room, you know, you'd have to have really long arms. Anyone else have any tips for cleaning?
This is Margie DeMars from Danville. I am one of those that tends to go over every single spot five times. But to try to lessen that, I do everything horizontal and then I do it vertical. So I go in both directions, especially in the kitchen with the kitchen tile, because I know a lot of the dirt gets in that little grout line. And that's usually a little lower than the actual floor. So, yeah, I go in one direction and then the opposite direction. And I do try to listen, as Robin says. If you hear things going up in the vacuum, either you know you're vacuuming something up that you shouldn't be vacuuming up, or you know it's just the dirt. And you could tell the difference between sand and dirt going up than
a penny.
Then, yeah, a penny or a scarf or a rosary or something like that, you know. But, yeah. So that's my biggest thing. And my husband always used to say, Margie, just let me do it. I mean, he'd do the whole house in 10 minutes. And, you know, I'd be there half the house one day, you know, all day long, like, because I'm going over five times on everything. And so That's what I do. I just can't help it. I just think I'm always missing something. Yeah.
You're paranoid like I am, Margie.
Hey, Sam.
Yeah.
I got one.
All right. April?
Yes.
Over here?
Right on.
So, Robin, what do you do about spider webs in the ceiling?
Okay. Thank you. Spider webs are nasty. Mm. And they come outside your house too, but I have a bug extermination service that does that. And I actually, I don't have bugs, I promise you. That's why I have a service. They put stuff outside and they never come inside. But I have them get the ones inside when they come and do outside as well. And they do that if you ask them. I also have one of those dusters on a long pole. And I go to the wall and then I move to the corner and just swish it around a little bit and it gets them. And then I have a sighted friend, if they're over, say, you see any spider webs? And they might find one once in a while and they will take it with the big pole. But spider webs that are on near the floor sometimes in dark corners, I get them when I dust. They don't like dust solution, you know, like the spray can. And usually they don't have spiders, it's just the spider web. So that's how I get them. But I use one of those long poles with a duster on the end of it. And you can get them anywhere in the grocery store, in BJ's, Costco, Sam's. And it works pretty well. If all else fails, when you have a person with vision come see you, just say, hey, can I borrow your vision a second? What do you see? If you see spider webs, where? You know, could you whack it out? And it's only a like 2 second thing, you know, it's not like they're going over your whole house. Okay?
Hi, this is Caroline from Fredericksburg. I would like to make a comment about Margie's comment, which was, and I emulate this a lot, her husband can do it faster than she can. And I don't know about anyone else in the room, but I hear that a lot in my home. And I guess my one comment would be, pick your battles, because if my husband wants to clean for me, go for it. That being said, I do pick other battles, like I will cook because I don't like his cooking. So again, pick your battles, but yes, sighted people generally can do things faster, but it doesn't mean they should do them. Because we, as blind individuals, we have things that we are good at, better at. And so we have to recognize what those things are. And those are things that you say, I know you can do it faster, but I'm going to do it. And it goes back with the self-advocacy from the earlier session. And that is what I have to say.
Great, thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Gladys Edwards. I'm from Danville, Virginia. And I'm having a problem when I wash the dishes. I stand there and I'm washing the dishes. And then I say, okay, then I stop in the middle of washing the dishes. I come back and get it later. What can I do about that?
Say that out loud.
Use paper plates.
I'm going to be a contrarian. This is Stan. I find the automated vacuums are great in our house because if we didn't use them, our house would go weeks without getting vacuuming because I don't like to do it as a blind person and my wife just doesn't like to do it. So it may not be as good as what you can do when you're really concentrating, but at least you can do it. You can set it up so that it does it when you go to bed. The only thing is you gotta make sure you pick stuff up off the floor. Yes, it does. Goes under the bed well, goes under the couch well. Things that I'm not gonna do very well. So yeah, I'm afraid. Because honestly, my sighted wife says it's good enough.
All right, we've been getting a lot of great suggestions. And by the way, there is nothing wrong with having sighted help, right? Nothing wrong with that. All right, Moving on to, we're going to wrap up cleaning. We're going to move into dishes and laundry. So we started the discussion on dishes, right? Anybody have any tips? Anybody ever have the sock monster eat their socks?
Oh, yeah.
Anyone ever wear different colored socks? Okay. I'm going to hand it over to Robin to kick us off here.
To kick us off. Ooh. Okay. Well, I use colored socks, and my husband says, you know, a lot of blind people, you know, because he's very observant, he says, wear black or white. And I said, yeah, but if you have like a pink outfit on, that kind of breaks it up. Why can't you wear pink socks? Well, I use those little colored labels. They're aluminum, and they're in Braille, and they have print on the back. I don't know how small the print is, though. At any rate, they really are handy for labeling everything, except they don't have some colors. So then you make your code up. Like, they don't have peach, and I wear a lot of peach, so I call peach orange orange. In other words, two labels. And then that works well. As opposed to one label, which is orange. Two is peach. So that's the main way. And the socks, I pin them together, and you can get also these little gadgets called sock locks or something like that. And they are also handy, and you can get those through an organization called Maxi AIDS. Now, that is not women's products, okay? It's a company. It's a company, all right? You should see me, I'm red as a beet. But anyway, it's a company. And they have all kinds of stuff. You don't necessarily need to go and put a mortgage into Maxi AIDS company. Old school stuff works well. Safety pins, if you're wearing all white socks, works great. If you want to wear all black socks, that's not always going to go with your clothes, but people do it, okay? Usually if you have black shoes, you wear black socks, or white, you wear white socks. But that's just sighted world. Anything goes nowadays, they tell me, anything. So it's okay. That's how I get the sock monster. And if you put them in the laundry that way, you might, and you wear colored, you might want to put them in the colored versus the white. Especially if you put bleach in white clothes once in a while, that really makes them very nice and clean. After a while, your whites are going to need a shot of bleach. I don't use bleach on a regular basis because it's harmful for the environment. But I do believe in having clean clothes. So there you go with the laundry. Oh, and while that is going on, people want to know how to separate the white from the dark. Okay, I use two hampers. One for the colored and one for the white or light colors. It's a word puzzle, y'all. It's just a word puzzle is all it is. And if you once you figure that out, you're good. And I can talk to some of you later about that.
Some hands, good.
All right, good. Y'all are doing great.
Hi, it's Subo Master. I don't really have a solution. I use old school safety pins and stuff, but I just wanted to make a comment that a friend of mine one time went to work and someone approached her and said, do you know you have one blue sock and one black sock? And she said, yes, and I have a pair just like it at home.
Hi, this is Lisa. So I also recommend getting those garment bags that you can wash, and I put like all my white socks into one and the colors in another, and they're different. I have actually two different sized bags that I use, so I know which one is which.
All righty, Sam, you're on again.
All right. So that actually made me curious how people are identifying colors, what techniques people use to identify colors.
Good.
There are lots of applications on your phone now that will help you identify colors. I use either Seeing AI or Be My Eyes, yeah. And they do a really nice job of describing, you know, I've got about a zillion t-shirts and I don't know which color is which and which, you know, which one, which design. And so I use Seeing AI or Be My Eyes to identify the t-shirt I'm putting on. Because sometimes my wife isn't out of bed yet before I leave for, you know, whatever I'm doing. So I need to be independent about making sure that I don't wear blue and black together or something like that.
So I have a little tip about that as well. If you're able to take a picture of the item, you can plop it into ChatGPT, and it will tell you exactly what it is. And the color.
All right, we're going to move into the kitchen, talk about meal prep. So I'm going to read off these categories, and then if people have tips or questions around them, we'll just cover them all at once to cut down on the amount of running around. So in the meal preparation category, we're talking about things like identifying items, you know, if you have multiple cans, multiple packages, right, how do you tell them apart, some preparation techniques, how do you measure, how do you cut, how do you do things like that. Heating and food preparation techniques, right? How do you cook things? How do you prepare things? And so any suggestions that people have around those topics, I'm going to, well, let me start off with one since I haven't contributed any tips yet. Shame on me. So in terms of what I use for labeling my appliances, this is actually the next topic, but in terms of labeling my appliances, I use this tactile labeling kit. It's called Halos, H-A-L-O-S, and it essentially uses tactile markers instead of Braille. And the reason I did that is because it standardizes all the symbols across the devices. So for example, if you have a washer and you have a microwave and you have an oven, you know, it uses the same symbol for start, it uses the same symbol for cancel. And so it's a great way for people who don't know Braille, but who need tactile labeling to be able to mark their devices because they can feel the different symbols. So I'm gonna pass it over to Robin.
Okay. Labeling can take the form of many, many things. The fewer labels on an item, if you can get by with it, the better, because the more complicated you make it, the more you have to remember and the fewer things you do. But I'm going to backtrack just 1 second to laundry again. And you put laundry in the wash because it's either really dirty or it's got a stain of some kind. I use the stain stick and I rub it right where I think the stain is. And even if I'm not sure there's a stain, and there might be one, I put it on there and it really works well because the stuff tends to transfer, you know, throughout, say, half of the top of the shirt. It will move in the wash, so the shots of you getting it really clean are very good. You can check with a sighted person if you need to, but I also take all the labels off something, like the little tags in the back. If it's not going to be worn to the grocery store, it's only fit to do yard work, and then you really don't care what you look like because you're going to be filthy anyway. So those clothes just go for the yard. That's an idea. Okay, back to labeling. I use Braille sticky tape. You can Braille label. You can label your CDs or your kitchen cake mixes or your Jellos and puddings. But you can also buy plastic paper that you can Braille on, if you know basic Braille even, like A is for applesauce, B is for beans. C could be corn, you know, but you don't have to write, you know, C-O-R-N. If you just know part of the alphabet, you can label stuff using Braille if you want to. Some people line their cans and boxes up alphabetically in a cupboard, but I don't like that idea because things move. Your spices, you're going to know most of them by what they smell like. If you want double confirmation, you can label it, but sometimes it's a lot of work. And the plastic paper works well in freezer. You either do large print with markers that you can get through Maxi Aids as well, because they write very dark, which would contrast on white paper. That would work. They used to have a thing called Voxcom, but that's out of style now, basically. People don't use it as much, but that records, but it doesn't give you very much time to describe anything you're doing. It's like can of beans, you know, done. So, but that's just some of the things I use. It depends. Some things, if I know, I don't label them at all. But if you're making like a cake and you need pudding mix, you don't want to put chocolate in a lemon. That's weird.
For purposes of labeling, I have and will be using more the PenFriend, which you can get online, and you just kind of put a sticker on it and then say what it is, and then whenever you touch that sticker, you hear your voice announcing. So it could be good for anything. The stickers don't stay on with clothes. I tried that. But spices, prescriptions, it's good. If anybody is interested, if you want to do a save the date on Monday, February 9th, our program will be Deborah Erickson from the Blind Kitchen. It will be virtual, and she will be talking about a lot of this stuff. And then anybody who registers for the event and attends, just afterwards, just shoot her a quick email, and she will give every participant a free cut glove. And there'll also be a random drawing for gift certificates to her store that day. So February 9th will be virtual cooking.
I wanted to go back to labeling. We got a new washer and dryer a year or two ago, and we're now getting our kitchen renovated. GE has a whole page, at least one page, maybe even two, of stickers that you can put on, you know, that say different things. They also have symbols that are not Braille symbols. I haven't learned the symbols, but I know that, you know, the first one I get to on my washing machine and dryer is the power on, the second one is normal load, and the third one is delicate. So those are the three that I use the most, and then there's the on, you know, there's the start button. So I've got those labeled across the top there, and I believe that they also have stickers for the dishwasher and, you know, and other stuff too. So that helps me navigate around and do the controls on a flat, sort of a flat surface on my appliances. The GE one, if you contact GE, I've forgotten exactly where it is. It's, you know, it's accessories, I think. And it's only like $20 for the sheet. And so it's not too expensive to do several different kinds of appliances.
This is April Allen again. Actually, I remember this from Robin's class that she came to my house and did about 100 years ago. And she showed me how to label magnetic strips to put on my canned goods that I still use today. And so I take that those little magnets for my rudimentary Braille that I know, and for corn and tomatoes, like canned tomatoes and everything, and so, and I can reuse them because once the can's open, I just take the magnetic off, and so it really is good for like shopping days to, because she also told me the tip of stick it on your refrigerator, and you know what you need. That's your shopping list too, because she just finished using it. So yeah.
Hello. When I was at the senior retreat, they had their stove marked with this, well, liquid paint or some puffy paint. Okay, yes, puffy paint. And I saw their stove, and they had for the start button, they had a great, nice, neat X on there. I was like, this stuff is great. I can mark it on my washer and my dryer where I need to pull, to bring the knob to pull out to start it in the right place. Mm-hmm. Well, I need some real help. What do you have to have, somebody with vision and artistic qualities to make a nice little straight line? I mean, I tried putting a simple C on top of one of my calcium vitamins, so because the bottle was quite similar to another vitamin. So I wanted to know, I wanted to use this puffy paint and put a simple C, and which would stand for calcium. Well, no way would anybody here ever feel that and think it was a C. It's a great big blob on the top of my vitamin. I mean, what's the trick, especially when you're visually impaired or blind, trying to make a straight line or to make it an even line? That's my question.
Well, I'll make my other comment, and maybe you can. This is James from Danville as well. On my oven stove range, I've always used bump dots, and I put them at the air and then at the 350 degrees. So I know counterclockwise is turning down from that, and clockwise is going up from that. Luckily, I still have a much older model stove that works great with the analog dials. Well, today's technology is amazing stuff and helps us in a lot of ways. What I understand, a lot of the newer ranges have touch screens, and that I'm worried that eventually I'll have to upgrade, and unless maybe I can link it to my phone or something, it's going to be quite difficult. So.
This is just a question. Regarding the magnetic labels, does anyone know if there's still a source for those, for that magnetic tape that's like Dymo tape? I still use those labels, but I don't know where to purchase that magnetic tape.
Yeah, they're saying Amazon, MaxiAid, Staples. I would try Amazon. They have everything.
Yeah, I would try Amazon as well. I would try them. Also, for the stove, you can count the beeps. I have an older stove too, and it beeps. So when it turns on, the first thing it does is get to 350. So when the oven's ready, if you don't put a temperature, it will go to 350. And then you just say for 375, then that means up 5. So you hit your up arrow and you can go up 5 beeps. That works well, but if you don't, then you're going to have to play with the dials. I do bump dots, but you have to be careful because sometimes they will come off. Mine came off the other day on my turn on and turn off. And I had to figure out where the shut off was on the touch screen. So I turned the oven on, and if you hit the wrong place, it won't do anything. But if it clicks, you hit the right place, and then I slap the bump dot on there. And you can use different bump dots to mean different things as well. And MaxiAids has just about anything in the line of bump dots. And they work well for computer too, as well as Velcro. Now, Velcro works well on a stove because it doesn't come off. Mm. And you can wash it. And if you want to put it on something in the shower, like your body wash or your hair conditioner or your shampoo, decide what the code is and put Velcro, if you can remember the code. Because if you can't, you're going to be washing your hair with body wash. You'll have nice suds.
Hi, this is Davita. Unfortunately, I've had to replace our kitchen appliances twice because they now tend to be more disposable. But both times, we were able, without any problems, to find cooktops and a double oven that has buttons. So you can still find them, and they also sometimes will click. So I've been lucky. I haven't had a black flat sleek with touch buttons. GE and Viking were the two, and then I think our current oven might be LG. I don't remember, but buttons are there. And then when somebody, to my surprise, when you want to change the temperature, you just put the oven on bake, and like somebody said, it goes automatically to 350. And the right knob, instead of clicking around to what you want to get to, it only moves one notch to the left and one notch to the right, and you just click the number of times. Each one is five, so just kind of like pressing five. This time you just click once, so it's tactile and I can use it and manage it without vision.
Thank you. Roseanne has some things.
All right. I need to draw this session to a conclusion because we've got a lot to do. Sam and Robin, do you have any concluding remarks you want to share?
I want to thank you all for participating today. This has been a great discussion, and it doesn't have to end here, and it doesn't have to end today. We have email lists. We can set up Zoom calls. Those of you who know, Teresa has started her fiber arts club where people get together and knit. And so anything that you have an interest in, where we as a membership can come together and exchange ideas and information, let's take advantage of that. We have the tools, we have the techniques and the ways to do it. So let's support each other as members. And I'm going to pass it over to Robin.
Okay, I would just like to second Sam's comment. And if any of you want to get in touch with me personally, see me. I'm here. You'll hear me. I'm always running my mouth. Lord bless. But anyway, I really enjoyed sharing this, and I appreciate the fact that Sam asked me to help. I'm filling in for our Vicky, so remember her. And happy survival. If you have questions, find us, and maybe we can get a group going on this topic, okay? Thank you so much.
You're welcome.